The Innocent, Chapter 10. Missouri had purple roses growing up and along the dividing fence between her house and the house next door. Some blooms, past their best, were clinging onto the plant, refusing to submit to the inevitability of their fate. Missouri was not interested in tending any plants in the garden that were not of practical use. The roses had somehow survived despite this deliberate neglect. The last few days had been unseasonably cool, the nights even cooler, and that break from the blistering sun had been the only thing that had allowed the drooping flowers to last this long. The reprieve was over. They would not be there this time next week. The bench Dean sat on was positioned in such a way that no one could walk behind him unless they wanted a close encounter with the thorns of the flowers accompanied. He leant back, allowing the rays of the sun to warm him, to shine on his face and provoke the freckles, which were still waiting under the surface, to emerge from their winter hibernation. The scent of apple hung heavy in the air, and he inhaled it, letting it fill his lungs as he took deep, calming breaths. He allowed his eyes to drift closed, and willed himself to relax even though he knew what was coming. Dad was angry. He didn't need Missouri's talents to see that. His father had watched him when those police officers had been there, and he had known. He had just known that Dean was hiding something, keeping secrets, lying. He had never been able to withhold the truth from his father, at least not without the guilt that accompanied the lie giving him away. His conscience would never let a lie to his father go unchecked. But he hadn't been lying to his dad. He hadn't. But he doubted his dad would see it that way. John Winchester had an inbuilt lie detector when it came to his kids. It had meant that he'd rarely uttered an untruth to the man, at least not unless the repercussions of any revelation would be vastly more destructive than a truth. He moved his feet in the grass, allowing the individual blades to tickle the soles of them.
"You shouldn't be out here without shoes."
His father's voice maintained an air of neutrality. Dean wasn't fooled. He knew there was more coming, and he waited for it. A brief silence, and then the interrogation began.
"You were at that park last night."
A statement of fact, not a question.
"Did you see anything?"
"Anything." Well, he'd seen a cat. Dad wouldn't be interested in that. He'd seen a girl, a guy. Dad may be interested. His mom. He was not going to mention her, no matter what his father said. So he'd definitely seen something. But that wasn't what his dad was asking. He was referring to that attack on the man who'd been standing behind him. The attack that happened in the dark. That he only saw inside his head through eyes that weren't his own. He hadn't seen him suspended by his throat by invisible hands. He hadn't seen the arm being snapped so that the useless hand was forced to drop the blade that had been meant to spill his blood. He hadn't seen it. He hadn't. Not really. Not with his own eyes. It couldn't count that the vision had been borrowed. It wouldn't be lying to say, "No, I didn't see anything." But it would feel like lying. He knew the guilt was already gearing itself up to rise to the surface, to whisper into his ear that he was letting his father down, again. That he was a disappointment, again. Just like whenever he'd managed to get himself suspended from school, or when he'd let Sammy get hurt, or when he'd been hurt. He had seen the man lying broken on the ground. He'd heard the screams, the desperate gasps for air around the crushed windpipe, the groans of agony as he'd been dropped unceremoniously in a heap. John watched his son's face, approaching cautiously. Even with his head bowed, John could tell that Dean didn't open his eyes at all. It shouldn't be so easy to get so close to him without him at least opening his eyes. It shouldn't, but it was. He didn't want to make this conversation any harder than he knew it was going to be. He was fully aware that he was intentionally backing Dean into a corner. He was not going to give him the opportunity to avoid this. He wanted answers. He needed them. When Dean raised his eyes to him, drawing them slowly up from the view of his feet on lawn, John knew he was ready, willing to talk even if he'd rather not. As John moved within a couple of feet of the bench, another thought struck him. He'd talk, but would he be saying something that John actually wanted to hear? Sam leant across the sink, hand pressed onto the glass, angling his body so that he could have a view of the confrontation taking place outside. He felt the water seep through his clothes from the drainer, but ignored it. He didn't know exactly why he was worried. Dad would not be a complete asshole about this. He was 90% certain of that fact. Okay, there was that underlying 10% of doubt, built on the sturdy foundation of a lifetime's experience as John Winchester's son. But that last couple of days, the way Dad had been with Dean, he wouldn't be an asshole. He wouldn't. At least, he'd better fucking not be. Dean glanced up at his father, wishing silently that he'd sit down, but knowing that he wouldn't. John Winchester had always taken advantage of his height. There was something about looking down on someone that gave an impression of power, authority, and dominance. It'd been very imposing when he'd been a kid. Probably didn't work with Sammy anymore.
Last night, when Sam found you, you were coming out of the park, weren't you?
Dean bowed his head, not wanting to look up and see the expression on his father's face when he nodded.
Did you see that man attacked?
A noticeable hesitation, the moment of truth. Dean shook his head. No, he hadn't witnessed anything with his own eyes. He wasn't lying. He wasn't.
You're saying you didn't see anything?
Dean shook his head again, this time with no hesitation at all.
Dean.
The voice was cold, anger wrestling with frustration.
Tell me, don't shake your head. Say the words, damn it.
The last few words were spat out between clenched teeth. The father in him was retreating, and John was finding it hard to bring him back.
No, didn't see.
John couldn't do this. Couldn't not look at his son when he spoke, not see his face. Most of Dean's ability to communicate now was nonverbal, and this just wasn't working. He bent at the knees, hunkering down in front of the seated man.
You didn't.
He took in a breath and held it. He knew he was losing his temper, and this wasn't going to work if he got angry with Dean. He didn't want to be angry with him. He didn't, but he also wasn't prepared to put up with Dean lying to him. And Dean was most definitely lying. He always knew when he was. He placed a hand on his son's leg and watched it silently as Dean attempted to catch a blade of grass between his toes, focused on it, determined. The sigh that followed was anything but quiet. He peered at Dean's face to catch the bottom lip caught between teeth. Dean was lying. He wasn't paying attention to him. He wanted to shout, get angry, show frustration, but he fought so hard to rein in the impulse. Even when he was a kid, Dean used to be able to lie, was a master craftsman when it came to spinning a yarn, working the con, getting something from witnesses, journalists, victims, anyone. But he almost always tripped himself up when the lie was directed at his dad. He knew that he could never get away with lying to his dad. Never. John always found him out. Well, almost always. When he was young, it had been the little tells, the averted look, the furtive glance, the gnawed lip. The guilt that had Dean trying to make amends for days afterwards, and the misery that accompanied it. By the time he was a teenager, he'd become much better at it. More selective in what he kept from his father. He'd rarely lied to keep himself out of trouble.
No, it had always been about protecting Sam, keeping Sam from the punishment that he took upon himself, taking the blame when none was his. They were harder lies to spot, more difficult untruths to detect, but he'd learned to see the signs then, too. Okay, so he hadn't detected every single deceit. He wasn't delusional enough to think that his son couldn't keep any secrets from him. There was a chance that he'd missed the sighs of relief, the withheld intelligence, the conspiratorial wink between siblings, but he reckoned he was running at least 80% with Dean. With Sam, he'd be lucky if he hit the 50% mark. For some reason, Sam had always been more successful at keeping things from him. Dean was lying now, as if he was all of 7 years old again, concealing the guilt by hiding his eyes. He gently squeezed the knee that his hand rested on.
"You were in the park?"
Dean nodded.
Yes.
"Did you hear the scream that Sam heard?" It was more than a hesitation, much more. So now he knew which way Dean was playing it. He wasn't so much lying as being selective with his interpretation of the question. It was kind of like a djinn who granted a poor smuck wishes with a literal interpretation of the request. The words you used were important. How was Dean supposed to know what scream Sam had heard? He repeated the last question.
"Dean, you heard a scream?"
A nod. That would do. For now.
"Did you see the man who was attacked?"
Dean's feet stopped moving. He looked up, and then attempted to get up from the bench. John had already decided that that was not going to happen, putting a little more pressure onto the hand that sat on Dean's good leg.
"You're not going anywhere, Dean. Not until you tell me what I want to know."
John didn't miss the flash of fear that crossed his son's face. Fear in something else. John almost faltered, almost let him go. He hated the idea that Dean was scared of him, loathed it. But he had to do this. He had to know what was going on. If what Dean knew was linked to the danger Missouri had predicted, well, it was too important to let go. Dean's safety was too important. John didn't miss Dean's furtive glance to the other side of the garden, to the area shaded by an old willow tree. He followed Dean's gaze, half expecting to see Missouri or Sam. There was no one there. John waited until he had Dean's full attention, lifting his chin so that he had to look him in the eye.
"Did you see him? The man?"
A small nod, another glance towards the shadows beneath the tree.
"Dean, look at me."
He knew he was shouting now, patience lost.
"Did you see him get hurt?"
"No."
"Did you see what hurt him?"
Another glance. Dean was looking panicked now, his breathing getting heavier, faster.
"Dean, focus on me. Did you see?"
A nod.
"What was?"
John didn't actually know what had hit him. He went from kneeling in front of his son to lying on the ground next to the bench, Dean leaning over him, attempting to shield him from something he couldn't see.